Hey everybody, this is the third episode of Solana Made Easy, which is the Solana-focused trading show hosted by Easy Eats Bodega on Twitter Spaces. He's doing these Monday through Thursday at 5 p.m. Eastern. If you're interested in getting into Solana, which has gasless transactions and high-frequency trading, as you'll find out if you listen to this, then this is definitely the show for you. Solana's really blowing up right now. If you're interested in getting into it, I'd recommend listening. As usual, all of this content is sponsored by FTX. You can sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code thenifty on your mobile phone.
What is going on, everybody? Solana Made Easy day three. Excited to be back again with everybody here. Starting to see some frequent speakers, some common faces. Love that. Shout out Chillin' Villain, Nami, Cody, Ragnar, Manny, Hambo, and more. Excited to see what we got going on today. Yesterday was awesome with the Trip and Apesmint. I mean, those are holding well around that 40 soul floor. Still got a ton of other things going on. Space is still hot. Things are moving. Curious what everyone's getting into. What are you trading? What are you looking at? I know I had teased that we're probably starting up a little 10 soul challenge. So curious how some people in here take their trading strategies, what they look for, how they navigate the market. But let's get into it right now and kind of just talk the Solana ecosystem. Wanted to pass it over, see how you doing, Running Man. How you doing, Cody? And I know Ragnar as well. What's going on, everyone?
How's it going, Easy? All right. Less nervous tonight.
Hey, you crushed it yesterday. I know, day two.
Yeah.
He was a nervous wreck yesterday, could barely get a word out, but we'll give him a pass, right? Just kidding.
Yeah. Just look, I mean, everything seems to be just ranging at the moment. I can't really see any real movement, but it's to be expected. I mean, we had a lot of turbulence yesterday. I'm not sure if you've seen anything easy moving around, but I'm looking at the moment. I can't really see anything. But
there was one project today, Fine Cats, that seemed like it took off a little bit.
It's getting volume, but it seems to be canceling it out. I'm actually going to mint some. There's a project coming up in a minute. Zenzutau Dinos, which is like sort of like a project and a degen mint, but I reckon this one, because people haven't had any, you know, action today, they could really, like, you know, get behind it, like. So yeah, might meet one of them and see where that goes. Cody on chain in the audience.
Hey, he's on stage. He's up here.
Next
to you. What a pro Running Man is, recognizing who's on stage versus in the audience.
Yeah, Cody. Easy. I was playing these. I've been playing these Cyber Frogs today. You see these yet?
I saw that they pumped all the way up past four. Was it? Someone had brought them up yesterday, I believe, at like 1.5 to 2 range.
Yeah, they were like 2.4 yesterday when we started looking at them. And I guess this dev just is crazy. They just announced a giant suite of tools, trying to become like that first platform that lets you short NFTs. Not know what that's gonna look like, but hey. Cool idea. I'll trade some news right here.
Yeah, so I've seen a few people talking about that going, I guess, shorting and longing projects. I mean, to be honest with you, like, I'm not too sure how they're going to go about doing that. You have to have someone on the other side of it. So for me, that's like, it's going to be a little bit more tough, not as traditional. I mean, it's seeming like we're really eking into like equities at this point. But with that too, it's like, do we have any idea how they plan to give the lines, I guess, short versus long on a specific project? Is it going to be timelines? What's that looking like?
No, Easy. We don't look at that stuff. We look at, there's news. We got volume today. So you bought in at 2.4 and we sold at 4. That's it. You don't need to look at anything else.
Well, that's the right way to do it. You're not wrong. I mean, especially on this kind of scale we're on right now, those sub 5 minutes, it's like they fluctuate so much. The volatility is wild. I did, like I said yesterday, pick up some bot heads, which I was happy about trading 9. I saw those frogs, man. They've been ripping all morning. Even when you look at the page, Magic Edens has that like update where it says which ones are already sold in like real time. And today they were just flying. It's weird that we're starting to see, I don't know if it's weird, but it's a little bit quieter. We're starting to see some of these projects that are in that sub 10 range start to move, especially compared to how much volume picked up on everything that was 10x that, you know?
Yeah, it's a good time to start up a 10 soul flipping challenge. Some of these other things are getting some volume where, you know, you can start by getting in on these projects 2, 3, 4 and actually seeing some movement on them, which, like you said, most of the movement was on the, you know, upper tier projects recently.
No, like that's, I completely agree. It's going to be interesting to see where the market kind of moves. This weekend, we have some big mints with G-Con and that street one. What is it called? Oh, man, I'm drawing
a Kings of the Street.
Kings of the Street. Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that art, but I didn't like Trippin' Apes, and those things are still holding at, what, a 40, 52 floor now? So they're hanging out. I'm curious to see with those big mints, are we going to see some liquidity crunch on the other kind of plays here? Do we see Trippin' Apes drop when G-Con mints and when Kings of the Street mint and when even more than that? I mean, there's so much hype in the next couple weeks with Primates, Bubble Goose, and more as well.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I'm really getting bullish on G-Con on Sunday. They've announced today that I'm building a token SPL token marketplace, multiple tokens, whitelist raffles. That's on top of the existing utility that they've got in place. So, I mean, Kings of the Street looks like another brand, just a branding project to me. I mean, I'm not as keen on it as I am on G-Con on Sunday. I think G-Con could really, you know, balloon up, to be fair. I don't know how you feel about it.
I mean, I'm excited for G-Con. Like, we talked to the team, we interviewed the project beforehand, a lot of wallet tracking things that they're talking about. So I'm excited to see the actual dev efforts go into it and what that pans out as. A lot of things now are utility-based, and it seems like the raffle meta is really, really hot. Tons of people buying into Famous Fox, Forge, and more just to kind of do these raffles. Dust has to be seeing a kick-up, too, because so many people are buying that D-Gods token to try to get these other raffles, even if it's on something like Famous Fox. But Manny, do you have a comment there? I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, I just kind of wanted to comment on one thing that I'm looking at. I'm whitelisted for G-Con, excited about that. Going to be flipping that, won't be holding that long term unless you guys think I should. But I'm looking at Cats, dude, and I think that they're going to retest to 110. That's just kind of like, I think there's too many rumors about that Rick and Morty stuff, and I think they hit 110.
So you plan it just off that pump. I mean, we talked about it a little bit Tuesday, was it? Maybe Monday, about the Rick and Morty pump. I mean, I'm a huge Rick and Morty fan. So if they can actually do something and make that realistic or bring that to life, if there's any truth to it, it's 100% going to run. Like, Rick and Morty fans are diehard fan base and kind of buy into all that. I don't know what their Web3 focus is. We've seen some pushback, too, from Pablo, the actual Rick and Morty kind of hand in there, so I'm not too sure how related it is. It may be one of those like buy the rumor, sell the news type things if it comes out that there's any actual involvement, or even if they're making an animated series. We haven't fully seen that yet, so a little bit of curiosity from me for sure around some of that. But I wanted to actually call out Ragnar. I mean, haven't seen you on stage before. Curious how you've been doing. I know you make content as well, huge fan, watch all your stuff. Curious what you've been trading.
Yes, sir. Thanks, EZ. Can you hear me all right, by the way?
Yeah, you sound perfect.
Nice. Yeah, so I haven't been on stage too much because the clock right now is 5 a.m. So that's the main reason. But yeah, I've been focusing mainly on like longer term plays. There hasn't been too many interesting like short term plays except for like mints and stuff. But like Bunnies and Homies was like the most recent one I traded.
So I probably saw those pump up to 7 or 8. I think they even got a little bit higher. What was the cause of that? Because they were sitting at 2.5 for a while yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I believe it was because they announced some insane like staking rewards. I don't know exactly the numbers, but they were pretty insane considering the floor price. But I do think you had to lock your NFT up for 30 days. So I did not end up doing that, but I did end up trading them. And probably the only recent project I was able to like sell at the top, which is nice. So yeah, I've been focusing more on like longer term plays, but there are a lot of upcoming mints that I'm really excited for, as everyone, I guess.
Yeah, it seems right now it really is that mint and flip kind of focus. I saw a decent tweet earlier that someone was talking about how this liquidity seems to be cycling around, but they felt it wasn't going into more of these like established projects. They felt that this money was rotating back into hype mints, rinsing and repeating. I'm curious, kind of, do you feel it's moving that way? I thought we had some really good rotations after Trippin' Apes.
Yeah, so I was one of those people trying to catch some dips during Trippin' Apes, but it seemed like basically everyone was trying to do that. So we saw the floor prices move a lot quicker than I expected because everyone was trying to catch those dips on other like established projects. So I do think there still is a lot of room to grow for more established projects. But then again, there are a ton of upcoming like super hyped mints that require a lot of liquidity, so it will be interesting to see. But yeah, I was kind of surprised that we didn't see like a bigger dip during Trippin' Apes. So I don't think there will be like a massive like problem with floor prices or anything. I think we can see both like established projects stay pretty good in floor price, as well as some of these new mints pump pretty hard. But I feel like we might see some disappointing floor prices as well on some of these like hyped upcoming mints, just because there are so many of them. So I don't feel like everyone can do as well as expected, but it will be interesting to see though.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to see kind of how some of that navigates and where that money flows. Nami, what do you have? What's going on?
I think a pretty slept on mint is happening tomorrow called Conjugators. And it's more of a long-term play, for being honest here. I think they already have a confirmed documentary with Netflix in 2023, if I'm not mistaken. So that could be a pretty good long-term play.
Is it's the also... NFT in the documentary? How's that working? That's one I haven't heard.
Yeah, no, I'm also very curious about how that's going to work and on, and what they're going to document exactly. But I do know that it is made by a pretty well-established project, OG Flowers. They have a couple collections, and each of them are over 5 floor price. So, yeah, definitely worth taking a look at.
I didn't realize it was an OG Flowers mint. They actually had some decent staking for a while when they had that 3D staking. I had a few people reach out to me on that. I've even had a few people reach out around the Ganja Gators whitelist. Is it wallet-based? Is it token? Do we know?
I believe it's wallet-based, and I think the whitelist is actually closed right now. Yeah.
Kosame, what you got for me?
Send it all to zero.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the fear too. Like, speaking of, is anyone else nervous, I guess, about the Solana price? It's been hovering under that 50 mark. Or are people still really just allocating this like one soul equals one soul, I guess? You know, like, what are some people's thoughts on it?
No, we're gonna bounce soon.
I think we got, I mean, if you think about it, we've tried in it an inflated price on Solana. I mean, you know, blue chips used to be at 30 sol, and now we're like flipping whitelists. So I think we've got a real opportunity to generate real bags in sol for when the price eventually does come up. I think it's a great opportunity, to be honest. You know, because in the future we're going to be trading on a much smaller margin than we are currently. Like, not sure what you think, Ease.
No, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how that price moves and what that actually kind of leads to. Because right now it feels like we're seeing so many projects do 10, 100Xs and stuff, and it just feels wild, especially even though it's at 50. The other thing, too, that I think is a little bit interesting is we are starting to see more money flow into the space. So one big thing, too, and Alexander Shillenvillain over here actually called it out, that Akuma Azuma, the games, let me check what the full name is, and I'm drawing a blank on that.
Azra.
It was Azra Games. It's backed by A16Z, which is massive. So that first and foremost, I've had a few people reach out asking what projects on Sol A16Z has backed or actually put money into. And this, I think, is the first one compared to what else they've invested in on the ETH side of things, ranging from Apes to many other massively named projects. So that being kind of that first project on Sol, I'm extremely interested in. Trying to reach out to the team here, and shout out Shillenvillain for sharing that, because that was completely under my radar. But the money behind that seems like a no-brainer. And Alex, how did you find out about that, out of curiosity?
Dude, I'm just early to everything. Like, what do you expect? I think I don't know, man. I literally don't remember. I found it like
tell
weeks
the fucking
ago.
Truth. Tell the truth.
I found it weeks ago, and I didn't really think much of it. And then I saw Sol Big Brain took the advisor position, and I have a thing for advisors, so I was like, oh, this is really legit. So then, and then I looked into it further, and I saw they had VCs backing it. Like, all this started happening, and I was like, holy shit. And then I saw, like, there was no influencer doing the whole whitelist giveaway. So they're just building it organically. But I think, like, us talking about it on spaces are going to, like, limit our abilities to get our alts whitelisted now, so we should probably not shill it anymore.
All right, so we'll stop talking about it. As you mentioned, you kind of have a thing for advisors. That makes a lot of sense. Your experience is unmatched there. So other than that, I'm still trying to figure out some of these other projects. What else is picking up speed? I'm curious as well, kind of what your people's thoughts are here on the spaces and on the stage around the whitelist meta. We've talked about Famous Fox, but it seems like whitelist marketplaces are picking up as well now.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. I mean, I think you're starting to see them like pop up across all projects now. And I think what you've got to do is start to look at what teams are generating whitelist and the actual numbers of, you know, what the exposure is. And I think you've got to start getting selective on, you know, looking at teams and you know, the actual population of who's going to be competing against you. That's going to be the next stage of whitelist evolution. Also, as well, talking of projects, there's one that's popped up on I'm really getting bullish on. That's Vandal City. That project is like an evolution of like Cops game, but it's got whitelist marketplace. It's a 10k supply, but it's gamified, and I think that also presents an opportunity because I think when most of the population's burning the token, playing, you know, on the gamified staking, you know, after rewards, if you save the token up, then you can really compete for the whitelist there.
Well, one thing to say on Vandal City, that founder, Barry, also founded Solana Puppy Pound previously, and like Solana Puppy Pound was that exact like gamified staking. Basically, there was like three different types of dogs, and depending on who had, you know, the least amount of dogs listed or something, their faction or their breed would get more tokens that day or whatever. So I assume, not that I even like know what Vandal City is doing, but I know that Barry has that type of background, and he's tried that before. The one thing that happened though with Solana Puppy Pound is one whale had like a ton, and basically was like demanding from the team to like, it was kind of like a huge drama. He wanted, like, you know, equity and shit. And basically, he dumped on the entire floor, and the project kind of went away from there. So just want to make sure that, like, he's figuring out a way to...
I think we've seen an evolution now, though. Obviously, we whitelist meta. That's an extra utility on the token, which creates a burn and a deflationary mechanism. Because before, I suppose, Puppy Farm was just doing, like, direct returns on staking, which, if you're staking a PFP... even just expecting direct returns, it's unsustainable. There's no burn there apart from creating more puppies. But with the ops and, you know, obviously the whitelist meta and the NFT auctions, it's creating a deflationary mechanism on top of the gamified staking as well. And I think that presents an opportunity in, like, you know, forming strategies around that. I think it's starting to get interesting, to be fair.
Yeah, I think a big thing too is as soon as you start to see more gamified staking in some of the actual... I don't want to call it utility, but some of the other ways that can be a little bit different than just like staking, forget about it, earn a token, use that token for a raffle or a giveaway. Once there's actually some gamified aspect to it, I think that's going to actually kick up whichever project starts that and really gets a ton of traction behind it because it's something new. I think a lot of people in the space are really excited for new, and that's exactly why things like the Bears and Apes have done amazing, is because it was new, it was a brand. It's the first of its kind. I wanted to actually call it to Alpha Say, and I saw you've had your hand up and down a few times. Wanted to get to you, see what you were thinking, what you're doing in the market, trades you made, et cetera.
Nah, hey, what's up, guys? One of the biggest plays right now, actually, that went up, that the floor was at 2 SOL a few days, actually for 3 months, is called the Hair Six Ring Bulls. It's a lead team by Jordan Brand, his son, and they're all leading that. They had a real-life event in L.A. just recently, and they're about to incorporate another athlete into their system. And they're coming up with their hair coin. So they reached the floor up to like 5.1 last night. Had a little retracement down to 4.4 today, but it's picked up since 2 floors. So I think that's a pretty good play, long-term play, because they're trying to like pretty much establish like a Fortune 500 company in Solana. So that's one of the most mature, actually, NFTs that I saw in the beginning of Solana when I started early in the game, that they were actually trying to change that maturity level and have everyone kind of just wait and make sure that you believe in my project. So it's an easy way to get into the whale of the hair project. It's only 5-6 ring bulls that you need to have. So like, that's one of the key things right now. I think that project longevity is going to stay around, and it's a branding one from a Jordan standpoint, and the bulls, they have NBA athletes backing that up. I just wanted to put that out there.
No, I appreciate the share on that. That was a project I watched around Mint. I was a little bit worried because you look at other projects from some NBA names like Space Runners had Nick Young and Swaggy P on that, or that is Swaggy P, had Nick Young and Kyle Kuzma on it. That was an interesting play because it seemed like there was a lot of wash trading. So with Hare, I was a little bit worried about that because we saw it pump like 15, 20 day one, but it seems like it's still kicking and kind of moving around here. I'm always a little bit hesitant with, I don't want to call them celebrities in the space, but people that kind of come from the outside Web3 space and feel like it's just right to immediately launch a project. On Sol, it's a little tough to fade that though because of the Astral success with Shaq. I know we have some people who are massive fans of that. I was a huge fan of it and shockingly paper-handed the hell out of it per usual. So that's always a delightful thing to do. But yeah, I mean, I'm always interested to see how they pan out and what the future kind of looks like on those projects. Solana Sweeper, what's going on?
Hey guys, how's everyone doing? So a couple projects that you guys talked about, like Astrals. So I actually did sweep a little of these the Ring 6 because I saw it went from 2 to like 4. So I swept a little bit, you know, got to keep the name going. I called it out too. I think that the Jordan brand with Lonzo could, I mean, it's basically you're paying for whitelist for the Lonzo NFT. So if you think that's going to be successful, you should pick one up. I don't really know how successful that project will be because Astrals has Shaq and Shaq actually is kind of involved. Air has Michael Jordan's children or sons and Michael Jordan's not involved. So I don't know. I mean, Astros, I don't know if anyone from the team here are. I'm a decently large holder there. I'm not the biggest fan of the team, I'll be honest.
On Astros?
I'm not a big fan of the team.
Out of curiosity.
Yeah, me too.
I think they're a bit air. I mean, I'm just not a fan. I don't want to. I think they're not. They think that they're the best project on Solana. They think they're better than everyone else. And they basically are going to, you know, do five different things. They're going to have festivals. They're going to make a AAA game. They're going to do everything under the sun. And I'm not seeing results. So I think the only reason why I hold Astrals is basically because Shaq comes into Discord. And I'm not going to fade Shaq. I mean, he's been a hero of mine forever. So it's just like, whatever. Even if it costs me like 200 souls. I mean, Sol's $50 now. So it's like, it is what it is.
No, I totally understand and agree.
Kind but of yeah, I think I actually go into Discord every now and then to talk to the team. I was gonna actually invest in their private round, and I was like, this doesn't make a lot of sense. I don't really like how the vesting was gonna go. And if you look at the price now of the coin, it's almost the same price as at what they were selling. They were selling it at 0.06. I think it's at 0.07. Me putting 100K into it and having to wait 18 months would have just been disastrous. I would have been very upset, I'll be honest. And
it could have been worse. Could have been an anchor holder, you know, could have gone right to zero and even lower. So
yeah, no,
there's always a worst case.
Very true. And I actually talked to them. I talked to the team about it, like the investment. And they were like, oh, you need to get in now. You need to get in now. They didn't even raise the full 3 million. They raised like 1 point something. And Shaq didn't even invest. So, like, I was just – I mean, I don't know. I think,
some of that sounds a little bit like a couple red flags, especially when you mentioned, like, Shaq did not even invest. That's interesting to me. I was not aware of that. So I think that's one thing to kind of consider, too, is if Shaq isn't buying into the project he's kind of vouching for, speaking on, it's a little bit interesting, especially for the longevity of it. But it also seems like Shaq's son is involved in some marketing role on Astrals, which I think that's a big hand in it. I mean, I'm still somewhat bullish on it. I mean, it's a gameplay. Who knows how that's going to pan out? It seems like games have largely faded on Sol, just taken a while to deliver. There's a handful that have been successful, so I'm curious what the longevity of those are. Ragnar, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to like share a couple of upcoming projects that hasn't been as much talked about, I feel like, that I'm kind of looking at. With the first one being Midnight Panthers. I feel like they have some of the best PFP art that I've seen in a while on some of these upcoming projects. I think their art looks pretty sick, and it seems like they know what they're doing with their branding and stuff. Currently at like 44K followers, but I feel like they have that potential to kind of grow pretty quickly going forward. And also wanted to share like Tokyo Glitch, which is a pretty unique and sweet looking anime art project, currently at like 36k followers. Don't really have any public info on like the long-term roadmap and stuff like that, but the art is super unique and I like it a lot. And the last one being Mystical Masks, I think. Yeah, so they only have like they have 7 tweets now actually, but I found them like 2 days ago when they had like 4k followers. Now they have 10. They have shown one sneak peek of their artwork, which I also like a lot. Super unique and super like colorful. So I feel like that's another project that has potential to just like blow up and hype and followers. So just some projects to keep an eye on, in my opinion, that I like that hasn't been as much talked about.
No, I think there's some good calls there. I'm interested to see Midnight Panthers was put on my radar very, very early as well. So I'm curious. I've been tagging along on that. I'm a little hesitant because now we also have Hello Panthers, which is going to be two of the same animal. Who knows anymore? It's always something, you know.
I was talking earlier. I think we're going to see a real upgrade on artwork on Solana. Now, I've got another two projects that I'm similar in terms of artwork. Mystic Men, I've been tracking since they had 50 followers. Art on that PFP is really sick. And I picked one up earlier on today. Susanoo, it's called. I've actually shared it on my Twitter. And again, anime looking slick. Two nice looking projects there.
Yeah, so I think any type of early project there, anything we can kind of get our eyes on, I'm excited for, especially with the art kind of taking a next step up. I just wanted to throw it to Manny real quick and then get to some of these new speakers I've just added. Kind of excited to talk to a few people here.
Cool, thanks, EZ. Yeah, it was just on Solana price. So I'm like setting my accumulation zone for picking up Solana somewhere between like $20 and $50. And like I expect a bounce like near 60, but I don't see it like breaking through 60 unless the money printer goes brr. But like if Bitcoin gives in or like 28.5, I'm out. Like I'm going straight cash and I'm out.
Yeah, I'm looking around the same targets, but I actually wanted to kind of call out here. David Tisson, happy to have you on stage. I definitely butchered your last name. I apologize, but it looks like you handle some VC aspects. You were also a seed and early investor in Solana. So I'd love to kind of hear your thoughts on the space, hear what you might be trading, what you're getting into. Shout out the SMBs as always. Shout out MonkeyDAO.
Yeah, thanks. And yeah, you got the name close. So it's, yeah, David Tisson.
I'll take it.
And yeah, so I work at like a VC firm. We're called Reciprocal Ventures. So we're one of the seed investors in Solana dating back to 2018. So back then the project wasn't even called Solana. It was still called Loom. And there was like a Never Team, a crypto project called Loom at the time. So they eventually had to rebrand to be called Solana. And so it's called Solana because like Anatoly's like really into surfing and he used to live in a town called Solana Beach down by San Diego when he was working at Qualcomm. And yeah, it was a nice name. So yeah, ended up being called Solana. And
some Solana history, let's go.
There's some Solana history there. And yeah, I think overall, yeah, there's a lot of like interesting things still happening on Solana. So like one of the original use cases for Solana was that it would basically have a central limit order book similar to what Serum eventually built. So that was like Anatoly's like a big original vision. And eventually, like last August and last summer, we started seeing the beginning of the NFT market on Solana. And like NFTs were like non-existent on Solana until like around like August, and like we had like the SMB mint August 3rd, and that started like the whole cycle and the beginning of like Solana NFTs being like a real thing. And we had the Metaplex candy machine standard come out. We started having some marketplaces. And like, so the early days, I remember when I was like training Solana NFTs at the start, like I would have to go, yeah, in the Discord and trade peer-to-peer with people. And that's because there was no marketplace. Eventually, we went for all the iterations of Solana NFT marketplaces. Magic Eden basically kicked everyone's ass and became the big winner. And so it's been fun. And yeah, I think like the gaming sector on Solana, yeah, I think like Stepan's basically showing that, yeah, it's like a scary like bear market feeling right now. But like Stepan is like getting hundreds of thousands of users. It's like beating numbers of what even Uniswap was getting. And yeah, it's basically having crypto have like a lot of adoption even during a time period that the market seems like, yeah, everyone's panicking. And yeah, there's even friends that don't even do crypto that want to, use Stepn. And yeah, so there's like reassurance that, there is like a future for crypto. And I think there will be a lot of the gaming projects coming out on Solana. And there's some that I'm excited about that will be coming out in the near term.
Hey, so, David. Yeah. Can I ask a question? Where do you think Stepn is in 6 to 9 months? I'm trying to understand how there can be longevity with something like this. It's reminding me now that one of our co-hosts on the morning show, Kix, described it as the next iteration of play to earn, right? Where you saw Axie Infinity lead the way. Stepn is kind of like Axie Infinity here, but we all know, the current state of affairs with play to earn. I'm wondering, where do you think, if you had a gun to your head, Stepn would be in 6 to 9 months?
Yeah, so it is hard like predicting like the future, and there are like issues with like play to earn, how sustainable like the tokens and the models can be. So like even like Zed Run, which was like the top like horse racing game, like those NFTs have basically crashed, like their floor price is like 0.00 like free ETH or something like that now. So I think like Stepn will like it'll continue to have adoption because they have people just like the idea of just walking and earning money. And yeah, I think in a few months time, like, yeah, there's no doubt like in 6 months, like Stepn will still be around. And yeah, we'll have to see if like the token models is actually sustainable, like since
I just wanted to ask you about the token model. I'm looking at, you know, like in any business, when businesses open, they loss make. They go through a loss making period of, a certain amount of time. Do you think the strategy is that, Stepn, probably the token at the moment is Ponzinomics, but they have got links to they've got links to Adidas, if I'm right, or Nike. Is it right?
Yeah, it's the VP of,
Do you think they run on like a Ponzi formula to create adoption with the intention of creating sustainability as they grow, triggering token burn, triggering product that you can purchase for the token. Stepn's got some legs. I think if they can create some sustainability in that token, I think they're running on a Ponzinomic at the moment, but I think that might be a strategy just to get adopted first and then obviously evolve from there.
Yeah, I think some of it too is going to be interesting if they go, say, like the physical route. Maybe you end up needing a physical shoe that plays into it. I'm more bullish overall on their ecosystem surviving, but it wouldn't shock me if their token trades sub $1 for an extended period of time. You know, like it's the least sustainable thing I think for Stepn is the fact that you can make $1 to $500 a day from walking up to an hour. You know, so
yeah, do you think that's triggered there just to get adopted? To get a user base.
That's definitely the interest. Like if you tell someone, hey, you're going to walk around and you're going to make money, a bunch of people that want to make money are going to do it. When I asked David the question, I was asking more so from a tokenomics perspective, just to kind of understand how this token would be supported long term. I understand it's been an absolute slam dunk for the people that were super early in it. But even someone, like Micah G, who speaks on our morning show and on some of the other shows, he's gotten wrecked in USD terms coming in relatively early, but not super duper early. So that's why I was asking. I'd love to have it explained to me like I'm five, why this tokenomic structure is going to work in 6 to 9 months. That's the only reason I was asking. I'm not like a Stepn hater. I mean, clearly they're doing something right, you know?
For sure. Yeah. I'm sorry, David, go ahead.
I'm not like the master of like the Stepn tokenomics. And
you're the step master, David.
I could actually step in. I know quite a lot about Stepn. I was actually, my Discord was one of the first ones to have one of the like tips and tricks ones. And that is pretty much a trend on the timeline. So actually the Stepn, the company itself, has been making upwards to something like $2 million in profit per day. It's past Magic Eden. So basically their model is to completely bring all the stuff of the ecosystem, including the swap, including the NFT marketplace, everything under the same ecosystem. And then they take a cut of everything. And so far, that's been how they've been able to be sustainable. They've raised something, I think they made something like about 20 to 30 million profit just in Q1. And that was before complete mass adoption. I think I've hopped in probably like mid-March. But yeah, it's definitely it's the as I think it's easy said, as the host said, the most valuable thing right now is their ecosystem is absolutely blowing up. You know, like their daily active users is insane. And the way that I've been like Eli Fiving it to people is that it's a mix of Strava and Pokemon Go. If everybody was around like just outside in the world in 2017 during Pokemon Go summer, my thesis is that the same thing is going to happen with Steppen. I think at some point it's going to take off worldwide. We've already seen Russia, absolutely the demand for Steppen is absolutely insane. The Steppen telegrams are just completely blown up out of proportions. They're some of the ones that have the craziest strategies since day one. So I think we're going to keep seeing that grow. And that's the same thing with Strava. Strava has something like 1 million new downloads per month. And that's still in freaking 2022. And Pokemon Go still has something like 800,000 users daily in 2022. So my guess is that Steppen is definitely here for the long run. So sorry for barging in.
Not a barge, no. Angel, yeah, thanks for joining. I wanted to actually call on you. I had minted the G Club originally. So I was a holder of the pass, like what you do with content and everything else. So shout out you. Glad and thankful that you joined the space. You mentioned that you were early on Steppen. I'm curious what else you're getting into. What have you been trading? Wins, losses, the fun of it all, you know?
Simple. Like, I'm really, like, I'm big on conviction. Like, I was probably, like, one of the earliest Boogles, right? And I kept my Boogle the entire bull run. And yeah, I definitely used the Boogle to make a name on Solana for sure. I did have a name like on Twitter because I was like pretty vocal with my takes on music in the past. But yeah, like I feel like I come from the dance world. So like the technology side has always pretty much been ingrained in what we do, marketing and all that. These days, I kind of almost like got rid of all my blue chips. And I pretty much like I'm just all in on my projects because it was kind of getting a lot to manage. And yeah, now I got G Club, that's the music side, which is the free mint. We actually did an event in LA on May 17th. So that was like last Tuesday, which was sick. Like the attendance was over 300 people. And we're also a label, so I just put out an EP.
Angel, I appreciate it. I just want to call out No Shilling at the moment. I know I had mentioned it, so shout out G Club, but I don't want to bring up projects too hard directly involved in. I wanted to see, though, outside of G Club, are you buying, you mentioned getting rid of some of your blue chips here. So I'm curious why, I guess. Is there newer mints you're looking into? Or are you looking to stay liquid? Are you looking to go USDC? What's kind of the reason for that?
Just like my take is like pick one project and just like focus on that. Because, I mean, like if you're able to do your research and pick a good team, after that, like sometimes I felt like me personally, I was keeping up with too many projects. I was using my platform to kind of like, I guess it can be a brand to keep everybody updated on everything. But yeah, for me, it was getting a lot to keep up with 1,000 Discords. So I did a whole cleanup and now I just focus on my big bets. I haven't been like really minting and flipping as much.
No, I mean, I feel like that's understandable. It's largely one or the other there. But also now I want to kind of just reset the room. We got some heavy hitters on stage. Shout out everyone so far that's been eager to talk. Dive into the Solana Made Easy show. Talking the good, the bad, the ugly. What's hot, what's not in the Solana space. It's an active market trade talk. Talking highs and lows. Everything in between. What's next? What's now? As always, I appreciate everyone not shilling, talking trades, talking the market, and diving into everything here. So if you haven't joined the Nifty Alpha Discord, the Soul Trades channel is completely free, hyperactive, tweets pinned to the top, dive in, ton of whitelist giveaways and everything else. Always talking the market. But now, wanted to keep kind of talking about what's going on. I know OK Bulls minted today. A Bears derivative. However, they do not have the derivatives tag on the project. That's something that, in my opinion, is a little interesting because there was a ton of FUD and iffiness on it at first with are Magic Eden going to list them? OK Bears mentioned they had DMCAs in place, ready to go against this, and felt that the Bulls had taken essentially every piece of marketing there. But it also looks like we're getting a lot of the same art on some of these projects that are coming out. So I'm really curious what people on stage feel is justified there, from whether we allow for the derivatives tag, whether we put it on everything, whether we limit it and put it on nothing. I know we don't see it on OpenSea. So I'm kind of curious what people think. I actually wanted to hear what Cody had to say on that.
I cannot believe that we just gave this team 15,000 soul. That's wild to me. They just sold out a 10K collection at 1.5 soul, and we just said, yeah, that's cool. That's interesting.
OKBO still has 3.7K to mint out. Just wanted to add that in.
Wow, so they're not even sold out yet. They're going for mint price on Magic Eden already. So it's also interesting we're still now or starting to see Magic Eden list these projects before sellout, which OpenSea's been doing forever. Now I'm curious how floors actually trade, because this may be a bearish indicator for a lot of projects if they're listed right away and just go under mint. Like, especially watching this, if you can mint for 1.5 and this floor is under it, that mint out may become a much harder task to do. Michael, I know I added you a little bit late here, relatively new speaker this time around. What's going on? Curious if you have any thoughts on that or anything else.
Oh, yeah, bro. Right when I saw OK as the first name, I immediately, like, unfollowed them.
That's fair, for sure.
I mean, like, what's the – I don't – and their logo. Doesn't their logo look like the exact same?
It's just the same logo in red. Yeah, so, like, originality is intense.
Man, yeah. That's a no-brainer for me. That's all I got to add on that topic.
For sure. Sean Villain, what do you got?
Yeah, to go back to your point of them listing it already before sellout, I think that's a really good idea, because they would have sold out. I guarantee they would have sold all 10,000 of their collection, no problem. Now they're going to have a big issue that, you know, the price discovery has always been a problem with Solana, and people actually get rugged because of this, because they don't know what's actually going to happen on the secondary till the complete sellout. So the project owner can sell out with no secondary demand. But I think Coral Cube was the one that were doing that, and that's what pushed Magic Eden to start listing the way they have. And one other thing I'd like to see on Solana is reveals. I think if Trip and Apes would have done a reveal, we would have probably saw a much different price action.
They would have gone over 100 if they did a reveal. But the thing is, with some of the way that Sol rolls out, at least from what I've been able to see, that reveal, I always worry that they'll just have complete access to, like, not leaked metadata, but they'll know exactly what they're uploading for what image. Because it's a, I believe it's just like a redirect. So that always has me a little bit more nervous. I just don't know enough on how they actually navigate that. But we've seen a couple pre-reveal projects do fairly well. Those Orcs was the most recent one. They pumped up to like a 5.5 floor pre-reveal back to 3, and then saw like 6-7 a couple days later. It's going to be interesting if we start to see more similarities in that. I almost like the Sol instant reveals better. I think it leads to more direct price action. Projects seem to find a floor more quickly. And on ETH, it's almost guaranteed you can trade the pre-reveal pump into the post-reveal dip and kind of just cycle funds that way. So I almost like the different trading strategy, and it kind of plays into how quick Sol moves. But I am interested to see. I think Trip and Apes would have traded over 100. Like, I completely agree that price action would have been much different, especially seeing some of the rares going for 200 plus. I just added a couple new speakers here, Discontinued Dev and PH. Curious what you guys got going on. What are you trading? I see one of you is a Trip and Ape, the other a Solana Money Boy. Huge fan of the Money Boys and what they keep doing. But PH, I'm curious what you may have some thoughts on as far as Trip and Apes, how the mint went. You got it as your PFP, so you got to be a believer, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Trip and Apes for me was more of a, like, I believed in what they have. Like, I feel like some of the stuff Lysergic was talking about in the D-Gods AMA was actually quite cool, like their background, where they came from, etc., etc. I feel like in terms of roadmap, because they haven't released so much yet to the public, it leaves a lot open to imagination as well. So I feel like right now, I feel like you're seeing a decline in floor, but it definitely has the potential to come back, in my opinion, with what they have coming. They were talking about potentially having their own festival. I don't know. Like, it just sounds extremely, you know, good for me. Like, I like it. I like the project. I like the owners. And in terms of the mint, I'm not too sure how I feel about Coral Cube, and I think the other platform is Hyperspace, listing it early, because they obviously got a lot of volume, and that kind of forced Magic Eden's hand into listing it as well early. I'm not too sure how I feel about that, because I feel like projects that we saw with OK Bears, we never saw projects floor this high directly after mint. I feel like it's very much post-OK Bears we're seeing a lot more hype projects, a lot more eyes on Solana. And I don't know how I feel about them flooring so high. I feel like it's a lot nicer when you have a gradual increase. But yeah, that's what I thought about it.
No, I mean, I definitely agree to some extent there. It's nice when you have that gradual increase. Things tend to hold their floor value a little bit better in that case, rather than just like a complete blow off top where they just explode and keep moving. I am a little bit interested, though, in how some of these other new mints play and trade as we see some more of these hyped mints. Does that suck the liquidity out of Trippin' Apes? Does that end up causing their floor price to drop? Who knows? You know, like there's a lot of things there that have me a little bit interested to see what that leads to as far as circulation in the space and where that money flows. Because that's going to be big for either existing projects or if that money circles back to, say, Bears or even Trippin' Apes after some of these next ones launch. Michael, what you got for me?
Yeah, I wanted to know the, I guess, the general sentiment on Kings of the Street. I know that they're minting 2 days from now on, what, Friday? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I like the project. It seems like they have the hype. It seems like they're going more of that streetwear focus, skateboarding style. We're now seeing a lot of this, like, pastel scenery type of thing going on with these upcoming mints and a lot more scene-focused rollouts. For me, that's interesting because it almost like takes away from sneak peeks and what the NFT looks like and more so tries to create almost like a story and kind of this lore around it, which I know we've seen massive success in the Cats, massive success in a ton of other projects just from a pure lore standpoint. You go ahead. Yeah, did you have something there?
Yeah, my bad. My internet's kind of messing up a little bit. Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, seeing you mentioned like past setting up like more of a lore and giving you the idea of the, you know, the branding or the brand that they want to represent and the appeal that they want to have, which I like, right? Because, you know, the whole brand meta I think is great for the space because now projects are way more focused on how they appeal to the consumer and, you know, I guess just like what kind of vibe they want to give off, what kind of, you know, they're just trying more to resonate with the people and create their own culture, which I really like a lot. So I'm excited to see, you know, some of these hype projects, I'm excited to see some of them actually stick around and really build out a brand. Because it's a new time in Solana, in my eyes.
The brand meta is interesting because this is where we've seen some of the largest projects on ETH do really well. And I know I continually kind of circle back to that ETH narrative, but that it was that first mover's advantage. And I know we'll kind of always have some comparison made, regardless of if you're content with it or not, and enjoy that there's that comparison, it'll always exist. So knowing that these brands are really what's kind of taking a step forward here and driving some of this value add, I guess you could call it, has me interested if this can survive the longevity of it all. Is the brand meta really what's going to create a sustainable project and lead to an increase in floor price longer term? Or is it just going to be something that's hot right now, like staking was back in November and December? Granted, we still have that, but that's not like the main value add. Back then, it was like you say that word, floor price 3Xs, and you sell it. I wanted to first give a call out to Discontinued Dev, what you got, and then we'll pass it over to Angel and Ragnar.
Yo. Thanks for having me on Easy. Easy, PO, Running Man, you guys are doing a great job running this show. It's been a success so far. Keep rocking it. I don't have a ton of alpha, but I have some thoughts based off some conversation I've been having with some in real life people who are not involved in the Web3 space or like in the NFT space at all. And I've been trying to get their thoughts on like how like they think about NFTs and like what do they think of it. It's not easy. It's not easy to explain to someone what NFTs are and like what like you're actually getting from buying an NFT, let alone ETH NFT, but like a Solana NFT, which is like a little bit harder even to explain to someone. And trying to explain to them like, okay, what you're getting out of it, what is it, like a PFP, you get to stake it, you get whitelist token, like, and they were like, is this all, like, is this what you get? And they were actually, like, referring, like, oh, is this even actually art that like the project is providing to you? Even if they are providing like utility, it's like let's say like raffle for like for events. Like not every holders are getting access to these events. It's just like raffles being done. And we've seen like different projects like Stepin coming up with like something very totally new and different, which is definitely caught the attention of everyone. And even though it hasn't been here long for a long time, like people are already questioning its integrity. Like, is it actually going to last a long time? And like, I'm starting to think like maybe NFTs will never actually reach mass adoption, and it would actually become just an activity. Well, like it brings interest to like just a certain range of people. So like, I was curious what people like think about that when they try to interact with like people outside of the Web3 space, like, and like what they think about it.
Yeah, I would say that like degen trading a bunch of random pictures on a random blockchain. Yeah, you're right. It probably won't reach mass adoption, because that's like the same thing as saying, you know, are penny stocks going to reach mass adoption? So I think you just have to really recognize what it is you're thinking of NFTs as, because we just got back from VCon, and if you went to the Gary Vaynerchuk VCon website last week and you said, okay, I want to go to the conference, I want to buy a ticket, then you click on buy tickets and it literally took you to OpenSea. So Gary V sent you to OpenSea to buy his NFT ticket. And if you've never bought an NFT before, well, if you wanted to go to VCon, you had to learn in that instance. So I just think of NFTs as superior technology, right? Blockchain technology. We call it Web3, but I kind of think of it as like Internet 2.0, the next iteration of the internet. And that technology is so strong that it just gobbles up everything and provides decentralized verified ownership over, in this case, right, where we're on stage right now talking about digital pictures, digital assets that might represent something more, but it can also be a ticket to an event, token of authenticity, proof of ownership, a piece of art, and more use cases are going to emerge. So I think that if you kind of simplify the understanding to someone as just saying this blockchain technology, which when you talk about NFTs, that's what you're talking about, is blockchain, is just simply superior technology. Just like how after the automobile came out, we didn't go back to the horse and buggy, right? Maybe back when that came out, people were haters and were like, nah, I'm sticking with my horse and buggy. But eventually that shit got extinct. It's the same deal with NFTs. So no matter what, whether someone likes it or not, blockchain technology is going to infiltrate their life in some way. It's going to disrupt their life in some way. And we'll get to the point where you don't even realize it, right? Because we don't realize what cell phone tower our phone is making a call from. And we don't know about the piping behind the scenes, so to speak, that allows some of the technology products that we use to run. And it'll get to that same point with NFTs.
I think we are starting to get to some of that. We keep talking about Stepin, and I'll keep that quick here. But Stepin does a great job of it. You don't fully realize that this is an NFT and blockchain, aside from you need a shoe to start earning. And the subtlety to it is right below every screen, it says powered by Solana blockchain. So it's the subtleties when you start to see it that many times as you log into the app and continually use it, that eventually you're going to go look up what that is and start to get a wider understanding if you've been enjoying that app. So barrier to entry is going to be massive, depending on which chain, which project, which application gets people there, is going to lead to that large success. So I'm real interested in that. Circling back to kind of Dev's question there, every conversation with people outside the space is a little bit more interesting, and I think a lot of it comes into where their point of entry inevitably is going to be. Wanted to now just quickly pivot. I know Angel had his hand up. Ragnar first, what's going on? I see you still have your hand up, and then if Angel wants to, we can pass there before handing it over to Michael again.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to bring it quickly back to Kings of the Street, because it's like the next big mint happening. I just want to hear everyone's thoughts on the art, because in my opinion, the art is just not good and appealing like to me. Yeah, I think it's pretty bad. Yeah, so I just wanted to hear that, because, you know, they're doing a great job with branding, but I think they have just not done a great job with the art.
Yeah, Cody, I was watching your stream yesterday and actually saw you talking about that. I was curious what your thoughts were on Kings of the Street for people who may not have caught the stream.
Yeah, so I think, like, out of all these big upcoming projects, it's probably my least favorite. And what I said on stream was, I don't want to say that too loud because they hooked us up with a lot of whitelist spots for the community. But, yeah, I don't know. Some of these projects with, like, 220K, I don't know. This one doesn't look that good. They're really going after that Cats kind of branding of, like, kind of like the Cats Mouse in the House, where they're really, like, in the street, you know, the concrete jungle, whatever they're trying to do. I'm not a fan. That's not really my style, I don't think.
And I think we see a lot of these brands really start to push that brand style. It's curious which one's going to stick, though. Running Man, what'd you have?
I think G-Can on Sunday pulled a lot of volume out of that collection. I think that launch, they maybe do a bit, but come Sunday when G-Can mints, I think that market will pull a lot of money out of Kings of the Street. I think it's just like the second generation of branding. I think it's, you know, it's not going to do as good as the originals. It's not going to hit anything new, and you know, it's not jumping out the page for me, definitely.
For sure, it's always a little bit interesting. Show and Villain, what are your thoughts on the Kings of the Street?
I'm going to be biased because I'm really good friends with Conway, that artist, so you probably don't want my opinion. But I think they're killing the branding. I think it's going to do really well. Like, the demand seems like it's there. People are saying they don't like the art, but I'm not a big person that believes it. Look at Moonbirds. I mean, they're airdrop.
I'm not an art guy. I'm the same way, man.
Yeah, art only gets you in there. But once you're in there, you know, art kind of. But so everyone's already in there. So I think it's going to do well regardless of what people say the art, because art's subjective, and maybe someone doesn't like the art. Maybe, but like I said, I'm biased. So take that with a grain of salt.
Alex, is Conway the same artist behind Devil Kid?
Yes.
Word.
So Michael, what you got? PH, what you got? Curious if you got thoughts on Kings of the Street or some other topic there.
Yeah, man, y'all are fudding my fucking whitelist. Nah, I'm playing. Nah, man, that's one of the only whitelists I got, bro. I'm like, fuck. I got that and Baked Beavers. So hopefully get some good volume on the secondary. Look for a nice little flip.
I think you'll be able to definitely get a flip on them. PH, what's going on?
Yeah, likewise. I feel like it'll be a great flip. I feel like it really like leans towards skateboarding, etc. I feel like it could really tap into that market. So I think a lot of people might mess with the art, the people that are kind of into that streetwear, etc. But it's just not for me personally. I think Jaikin or G-Can is probably a very big sleeping giant right now, going under a lot of radars, definitely, 100%. And I think in terms of art and brandability, I think a lot of people have the perception of great goats being like, okay, they just followed in OK Best footsteps, which they may have done. The art's clean, it's simple, low traits, etc. But I think it has a lot of potential, because when we talk about branding, goat as a name, and that, like, in terms of what they do with it, I feel like it could actually explode in the soul space if they get the right people. And they could also bring a lot of influences with it. Because the GOAT tag, you know, greatest of all time, I feel like he could really, you know, take some big steps in the soul space and actually cause quite a big surprise. Because I feel like a lot of people right now see it as a quick flip. But depending on how they market and brand it with their merch, etc., I feel like it has a lot of potential.
For sure. I definitely agree on that. It's one of those animals that people relate to, especially in sports and the market. That was actually why I almost found it funny that the Bears took off, because Bears are usually a downward kind of movement in the market, but it was their entire motto around it and that brand that did well. So if the goats play into kind of like just being kick-ass and the best, then the likelihood is that they could get a lot of push and people backing it. There's just so many good mints coming up that I'm really excited for. There's going to be a ton of liquidity moving around. I wanted to just toss over to MMM, frequent kind of participant recently, which has been badass. So thank you again, and happy to have you on stage. What's been going on?
Yeah, what up? Thanks for having me up again. I was just gonna say, I was gonna comment on the Kings of the Street, and disclaimer, like, I've got whitelist for it as ready. I'm also a Devil Kids holder, but I was just gonna say, I think something that's overlooked on Kings of the Street is their artist. He's the guy who did Devil Kids, and if you like the 101 space in Solana at all, he's like a pretty big name in the 101 space, definitely up and coming. Like Pnug, who's probably the most famous one of the most famous 101 artists in Solana, is a huge supporter of X Conway. So Devil Kids, I think, got FUDded out because it was purely an art project. And once people realized that, they wanted out of it. I think like why I'm bullish on Kings of the Street is because it's taking X Conway's art, which is, I know a lot of people say they don't like it, but I think overall is pretty elite, and mixing it with like a real long-term project that's got a team and everything to control it.
Yeah, and it's a little interesting there. I just want to comment. I can't tell if you're at a dog pound or in the middle of a kitchen.
He's dialing in from the construction site. Very impressive
I'm at the dog park in New York right now.
So. I was close on the guess. Let's go. But no, I do agree.
Dog park in New York.
When we saw the Devil Kids price action, those things were going for like 25, 30 sol at one point, like off the bat. So people were massive fans of that. I think that correlation's good, and I did not put that together. So I do agree. Like people who originally supported the artist now get a project backing. The likelihood for a kick up there is interesting. We've talked about it a few times too. These secondary or side projects that are somehow associated to a primary project tend to get legs. We just saw it with Skater Gators. We've seen it with some of these other ones. So I'm curious. I think Devil Kids have been getting a little bit of traction. I've seen a few more tweets on them, which I'm a massive believer in kind of that social sentiment, especially when you have spaces and other things that are very project specific. They play into that floor price and that community so much. It's wild to see the social sentiment in NFTs and how quickly it kind of moves, navigates, jumps price action and causes that volatility, especially on a blockchain that seems to move extremely fast. So
yeah, can I just say one more thing, Easy, which is 100%. That I think like the other thing to look at is, yeah, like you said, Devil Kids, like price, last time I checked, which I think was yesterday, it was at like 14 or 15 sol. So, I mean, that's a pretty good, basically, like indication of what the whitelist token price is. Because if you own a Devil Kids, you get a free, or you get a whitelist mint here.
Yeah, and that value is massive. I know Cody's been talking about these scrolls for a few days. These projects that give you these whitelist spots are picking up a ton of value. So I think some of that is interesting. I'm starting to look for more of those, where you can actually get whitelists for some of these sleeper projects. And if you get those early enough, that's a trade in itself, well before the whitelist. There's no reason not to try to get a little bit more leverage off of that, get some skin off the bone, the whole nine type of thing. So I'm excited to see what other projects give you that access. Michael, did your hand raise there?
Yeah, I wanted to chime in right there. There's actually some really undervalued NFTs out there that'll get you some great whitelists. One in particular is Fun Guys. If you don't know about Fun Guys, they actually did they made the metaverse for D-Gods, right? They made Soul Olympus, but they got 50 spots for Trippin' Ape in Fun Guys.
What's the total supply of Fun Guys too? Isn't it like
3,000?
Oh shit!
Yep.
And so that's good too.
Yeah, no, I love that community though. They're awesome, and it's cool that they got 50 spots. It's actually most likely because since they're partnered up with D-Gods, and then you know D-Gods obviously is you know close with Trippin' Ape, them being a part of the you know the founders, the team being D-God holders, is probably how they got those 50 spots. But yeah, no, you're definitely right about projects with good whitelists. Pumping. That's people are starting to take notice, and Money Boys is another one. It's funny, I didn't even like go for these projects, you know, for their whitelist, but I ended up getting some good whitelist in return. So I'm
I've been deep in this for six to eight weeks now, and then Fun Guys I can confirm is a really good one. I mean, I think what you've got to overlook for is projects with that I'm launching with low supply around the 2,000 range with good teams. Or like I mentioned earlier, like Vandal City, 10K supply, but gamified. So you're going to get a ton of token burn on the actual game where you can devise a strategy to actually, you know, deploy your token for the whitelist allocation, where I think a lot of people are going to miss that opportunity by going after prizes instead. There's a little project called Carton Kids, and 2K supply is launching its own marketplace this week. Teams launching, you know, whitelist. I've rolled 3 whitelists in the last 2 days. And if you keep getting that sort of exposure, and you're going to do well, in my opinion.
I have to agree with Running Man there. He brought up the fact that earlier the Vandal team is actually composed of D-Gods, and I think we should not fade D-God builders because we've seen a couple projects from the D-Gods community, such as Blocksmith Labs, which is at 100th floor price right now. We saw Zion Labs, which is at 16th floor price right now. And yeah, I think Vandal's gonna see some really good price action in the coming weeks, if not months. You know, just because based on the sole fact that they're a D-God team. And yeah, like, you know, D-God builders are pretty smart people, and I wouldn't fade them at all, for sure.
No, and they've been doing very well. I'm excited too, because the artist is similar to that of G-Con, and a lot of people are very eager about that mint. So any correlation seems like a good thing right now. I'm really eager to see kind of what happens there with some of that movement. I know we only got about 5 minutes left here, so I want to kind of give an opportunity to all of the speakers to talk about their bags, shill a project they may have for a minute before we kind of wrap up here. As mentioned also, it's a Monday to Thursday show. Tomorrow is the last day of our first full week of Solana Made Easy. Can't thank everyone enough who's been an active speaker and participant. It's been badass. Show's been awesome. I've got more alpha in the last 3 days than I have in the last 9 months, so shout out y'all. Cody, what do you got for me?
Well, I don't even own this, so I probably should just save my time to, you know, talk about something I actually own. But, I mean, we're talking about D-God builders, and there's one project that it doesn't really fit my criteria. I know me and you kind of look at listing count very similarly, but it has less than 0.5% listed, right? It's like almost a 7K collection with only 39 listed, and it's Carlos's second collection, the Jelly Baby Rascals, and he is just doing a fantastic job of, like, I think, like, Running Man, if you look into it, I think he's doing a good job with those sinks, those burns, like, really figuring out a way to make that token sustainable. And I mean, these ran, we were looking at them on stream yesterday, like 20, they're at 29 right here. I mean, it's kind of tough because literally there's 39 listed out of a 7K supply. But again, if we're not fading D-God builders, Carlos is the man. Really cool dude, really smart builder. So I like that project.
Yeah, there's value in that for sure. It's interesting to see, especially all the associative ties. Alexander, chill and villain, what you got for me?
I don't know if you picked up a Fox today or something, but you shilled it. So I'm actually bullish on the Foxes. But they did announce that they're going to be charging a small fee to all their services pretty much. And the famous Foxes get 100% off fees. And then the Transdimensionals do 25% if you stake forward, you get 100%. But what's interesting, what they're doing with the fees are 50% of those are going back into raffles. So I look for those raffles to probably do really well if they're going to be using those fees for. So it's just something, I mean, I don't think you can ever go wrong buying famous Foxes at any price. That's like, if I'm going to, like, I like to hold liquidity. If I'm not going to hold liquidity, it's going to be in famous Foxes.
I actually, a couple ETH people have reached out because they've seen just the way that I trade is so damn fast. I'm in and out of projects. By the time I even talk about them, I've most likely already sold it. The Foxes I picked up last week, and this is a product I've been in and out of since sub 10. I felt the same way. Like, these dudes just keep delivering. They're extremely transparent with their funds. I'm excited to see what happens. I mean, they've done a very good job, kind of what appears like they understand the space well enough to not risk security conversations around their token. And they've actually kind of tried now to make it more holder-centric and holder-focused. So I'm excited. I'm bullish on the Foxes. I think they get up to 100 personally. PH, what you got for me?
I'm going to talk about one of my biggest holdings right now. It's probably Older Mages. I feel like they're a name that's well known when it comes to doxing projects, but not many people really know, like, what's going on behind the scenes. I'm bullish on their team. I feel like they're hard workers, and they have a lot of stuff that I've seen that's coming up. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but their art's like nothing really special right now. But they're having Stage 2 coming out, which uses their token team, which is going to be very good burning for that. They also have all the pets, which earns revenue from their doxing service. And then they also have a lot of different unique traits with different benefits. And I feel like it's just a really cool project, and I really do feel like they're building something here in the Soul Space. They've seen a lot of activity recently, I know Jersey mentioned them in his video. I'm also in his DAO. He talked about them. He's picked up around 4. I think he picked them up around 3 soul. I think right now they're around 6 soul floor price. But yeah, they have a lot of stuff coming. I feel like they're just waiting for the right time to announce it to the wider community. And yeah, that's probably all I have to say, really. I'm just bullish on all the majors.
I'm with you on that. I actually called all the majors pre-mint in the Nifty Discord. We rode them up to 14, 15. And yeah, they had a problem pre-mint, I think, didn't they? Did they get rubbed pre-mint or so? They had to change the mint around, I remember. But yeah, good team, good solid team, definitely. I agree with you totally.
Yeah. I feel like, sorry, one sec. Monkey Labs like messed up their mint a little bit with some of their majors. And I feel like they did hit like a 15, 16, like a relatively high floor. And they went quiet for a little bit. But they've been working hard behind the scenes and they have upgraded art, etc. More collections, female collections coming as well. So yeah, that's just what I'm bullish on right now. Thank you. Also, thank you for the opportunity to speak on a space like this. I haven't really done this before, but yeah.
No, you're welcome anytime. You shared some dumb value, so I appreciate that more than you realize. I appreciate all the speakers today. We're ending here in a minute, so just wanted to kind of wrap here. Once again, thank you, everyone, to everyone in the audience. Shout out you for supporting this past week. We're just getting started. The last show of the week tomorrow, 5 p.m. Eastern time. Come kick it. Come talk that Solana Alpha. If you haven't, follow everyone on stage. Running Man, P.O., Angel, Cody, Chillin' Villain, Nami, David, P.H. To the people I didn't get on stage, we'll get you on this week. Always rotating speakers. Shout out you all.